is a little bit lengthy. It's about 16 verses. So what we're going to do, we're going to open up with prayer, and I'm going to let you guys be seated because I may stop and interject as we read through. So let's all just pray God has his will and his way here. I know I saw a lot of hands upraised when Brother Gunnman mentioned there if anybody had any needs, and I believe God wants to fulfill each and every one of those needs here today. If you believe that, let's all bow our heads and pray and ask the Lord to have his will and his way. Dear loving God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and ask you in prayer that you would continue to move in this mighty service. Lord, we thank you for the way we felt you already. God, and we just loose your spirit and your will in this place, God. And I pray that you'll anoint me, God. Give me words to say, to encourage, to uplift, to build faith in this room. Pray that your will is done, God, and we rebuke and cast out any foul spirit that may not be of you. We loose your spirit in this place, and we claim all that in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. And before you're seated, find somebody, maybe two or three, shake their hand and say, hey, I'm glad you're here and God loves you. Glad you're here, God loves you. After you do that, you can be seated. We're going to begin reading in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 1. And you guys can just follow along on the screen or on your Bibles. These are the words of Christ here. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Everybody say, the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This morning I would like to speak on this topic, we must know God's voice. We must know God's voice. You know, voices are very unique. Many will say that they're as unique as our fingerprints. Each voice is very distinct. Each one of us, our voices, really it's safe to say that no two voices are identically alike. So our voices are very unique. They are very distinct, and guess what? They're recognizable. I know all of us have picked up the phone before, and you may even have caller ID. And you may see on there, hey, you know, my dad's calling me, and because I have him in my phone. And you pick up the phone, and it may not, and then really you don't know exactly who, you just assume that's your dad on the other line, but it could be somebody else. But you're not for sure until what? Till you hear your dad's voice, because those of us that were around, we remember what their voice sounds like. You know, I can remember a scenario just a while ago on a personal note. I have a construction business, and one of the things we do is install heavy glass shower doors. And so I got an order in on an email and from the salesperson who sold to people this door, and they said, this is the homeowner's name, address, and then they said, here's the general contractor, call them to set up the appointment to come and measure this shower door. So on the email, I saw the guy's name. I didn't recognize the name, so I thought, well, this is, I've never met this contractor. I've met a lot of them around town, but never met this one. So I call the phone, I dial the number to call the contractor to set up a time, and the gentleman answered, when he answered the phone, I was like, I've heard that voice before. And the more we talked for about 20 seconds, I got thinking, hey, you know, is this, and I said, hey, is this so-and-so? And he said, yeah, this is. I said, well, hey, Then I realized that the salesperson had put the wrong last name on the email. They said his name was so-and-so, so-and-so, and they got the first name right, but they didn't get the last name. Well, come to find out, I was able to recognize from his voice that I knew that person when I thought I didn't. You know, because the voice, the point of the matter is our voices will give away our identities. And that's why it's so important, because many of us, we hear lots of voices each and every day. And the most important voice is whose? God. We got to know Jesus' voice. Amen. So with that, you know, and we've all done things like that. You know, hey, is that you? And I haven't been around that gentleman for probably eight or nine months. You know, but I was around him long enough that I remembered his voice. And I got thinking, no, that's not, you know, I do know this person because I recognized his voice. And that's what we need to be with our relationship with God. We need to know what his voice sounds like. Amen. You know, and there's power in a voice. Adolf Hitler is one of the most evilest men to ever walk the face of this earth. And Hitler was a master at using his voice and speaking abilities to deceive and manipulate the German people into making him the supreme leader of Germany, which led the entire world to go into a Second World War. And many of you have studied World War II history, and you would discover that there were probably around 25 documented failed attempts to assassinate Adolf Hitler from the year 1934 to 1944. All of them failed, however. And the most commonly known attempt was the July 20, 1944 plot, more commonly known as Operation Valkyrie. This plot was the most successful. However, Hitler was able to escape with his life and execute severe judgment on those that may have been even remotely involved. Matter of fact, he arrested over 7,000 people and executed almost 5,000 of them, even if they had a hint to be involved in this assassination plot. In this attempt, Klaus von Stauffenberg, an officer in the German army who was part of a secret resistance that wanted to overthrow the Nazi Party and Adolf Hitler's control of Germany at the time, was able to get close enough in a meeting with Adolf Hitler to place a suitcase bomb in the meeting room. Stauffenberg was able to get close enough and escape, had a planned phone call come in as the bomb was counting down to detonation, and the bomb did go off in that meeting room with Adolf Hitler, and Stauffenberg saw the ruin of that building and was confident he had got the job done. But what he didn't know, that Hitler did survive that with minor injuries and a couple busted eardrums. Stauffenberg rushed back to Berlin, Germany, where the plan was to initiate Operation Valkyrie, which would make the reserve army the commanding force, and they would overthrow the Nazi Party, seeing their leader was supposedly dead, and end World War II. The plan almost worked. However, Hitler was able to get on the phone and call leaders at Berlin and tell them he had, in fact, survived this attack. The German reserve army were getting reports that Hitler was dead and began to put Operation Valkyrie in force. And it wasn't until they heard Hitler's voice on the phone that the reserve army commanders put an end to that operation. There's power in a voice. Amen. Hitler then goes on the radio and delivers a speech to all of Germany so that the citizens could hear his voice and know that he, in fact, was still alive and was still in control of Germany despite the rumors that he was dead. There is power in just one voice. You know, that's what made the difference. They knew because they had heard his voice. And he was a master of that. And that's how he was able to manipulate the German everyday people into letting him be the monster that he was and run their country to the places that it went to. And every day we face multitudes of voices. And voices could be audible voices. You're hearing my voice right now. Also, we hear voices in our heads. I don't know if I may be the only one here, but sometimes, you know, I want to talk about your thoughts, okay? And let's think about our thoughts right now. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaketh. And how do things get down in our heart? You know, that's, you know, it starts, you know, we hear something, right? And we're around something. And it gets in our minds. And then, you know, sometimes it gets down into our hearts, right? You know, and we're going to talk about, we have control over those kinds of things. But, so that's how we get, you know, so you hear these voices. You know, you may hear somebody talk, or maybe there's just voices in your head. You're thinking, you know, from resulting from what you've been around, your environment. You may be at work all day and laying in bed at night and be thinking about work and what you're going to do tomorrow. You know, those voices, those are voices. So we're talking about those things tonight. You know, when I check my email, I have a Yahoo account, and sometimes I think of changing it to Google so I don't deal with the ads, but sometimes I go check my email, and then I can't, the news is just, well, I don't know if you call it news, but their news headlines are popping right in front of my face, and I get distracted, and I get thinking, you know, they said that, they do it, what are we doing here, you know, and so we get those voices on the internet, you know, on social media, we hear all kinds of voices and opinions, and we don't hear them maybe audibly, but we see them typed out. On the radio, we hear voices through songs, through advertisements. When we see on the television, on billboards, we hear voices. We see pictures which lead to thoughts. And, you know, some of those voices, we can't control their access, can we? There again, like I say, you know, what we got to do is be careful not to get certain things down in our hearts. So if those voices are not in line with this Word of God right here, which this is what we've got to filter everything through. If those voices don't line up with what's in here, if we know what God's voice is, then should we allow it in our heart? No, absolutely. So we have to, but in order for this to be a good filter, we have to do what? We have to know what's in here. We have to know God's voice. Can you say amen? Amen. So voices, as we mentioned, they can come from yourself, your thoughts, your desires. You know, your thoughts can be a voice in your life. Your family and friends, their thoughts, their desires. Our current culture, their thoughts, their desires. You know, and I'll stop there. On our current culture, this is what we see in our culture, is just a lack of God's voice in people's everyday lives. You know, whenever you want to do things your own way and you want to do things what you think is best and not listen to what God has to say or not willing to even entertain it or obey it, this is what you get. You get to whatever humans, our flesh, think is right, and this is what we get. So we need to get more of God's voice out there. Amen. Amen. So our current culture, we get these voices, and they get loud sometimes. You know, well, I don't know so much about this. You know, God, you know, and they'll try to manipulate the Word of God. Well, God says we should love everybody. And that's true, you know. The devil used the Word of God, too, when he tempted Jesus. So we got to know the whole Word. The devil can actually give you thoughts and desires. Do you know that? The devil can get a little thought in your head and try to manipulate you, right? I remember when my daughter Melanie was going through, when she was just a little under 3 years old, she got diagnosed with which what they thought at the time, later on ended up being not cancer, but a cancer-like disease, Langerhans cell histiocytosis. Basically, her white blood cells were attacking her body. And it's a great, like I say, I don't want to take the time to tell the whole story, but during that, I remember getting the phone call at work. We were, of course, when something like that happens to your child, being a Christian, you know, you're asking everybody to pray. I mean, there wasn't a lack of prayer going on for our little child, right? And we believed God was just going to heal her like that. And he could, and I still believe he could. But sometimes we got to go through the process, don't we? And God has healed her, but it was a process. And I remember when she was little, I remember I was at work, and a lot of times that's how I deal with stress, is go to work, you know, get my mind off of it and stuff. Because obviously, I mean, it was bugging us. You wanted to change, you had your little daughter there getting needles and things poked in her and everything, not knowing exactly what it was. And I remember, because we were working with the people at Riley, great people up there, by the way. And we just started some. We were trying to figure out what she actually had and know how to treat it. And I remember I was at work one day, and I got the phone call there again. The caller ID said it was my wife. But when I picked up the phone, I knew it wasn't my wife. It was actually her mother. And because my wife couldn't talk. She was in tears so much because she just got off the phone with the doctor. Because the doctor here had been talking, our local physician had been talking with the people at Riley, and they thought it necessary to have our doctor let us know that when you come up here for this last test, we really think it's bone cancer. And of course, any time if you hear the word cancer, you all know that can put fear in your life. So my wife was, she couldn't even talk to me, but my mother-in-law was telling me. And I remember as the second I hung up, I just lost it right there. Because there was a voice that came across my head. You know what that voice said? Your child is dead. I mean, it sounded about like that in my head. Now, who do you think was responsible for that voice? Was that God? No, because I know God's voice. God's voice would have never told me that. Because with God, there's always hope. But how many of us, if we're not careful at times like that, will focus on that voice, the enemy, who is a liar, a deceiver, an accuser of the brethren, okay? I was able to, and I knew it was the devil, but the fact he said it, I still thought in my flesh, he may be right. But you know what? I got up out of that, and we prayed, and we sought God, and I looked at the doctor in the eye, and I said, hey, do another test. I believe God's going to heal her. And they look at you and tell you, I don't think so, but we'll do it. You know, doctors will tell you. Long story short, she did not have bone cancer, but she had to go through a little bit of chemotherapy, very minor. And the child's doing great. She's this tall now, getting taller. And let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. But not every voice you hear, because see, before that, I don't want to go into the long testimony. There's a lot of things. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about what all God, how we saw God's hand and all that. But there was a voice to even find out about she had a problem. On New Year's Day, go back in time. She's just running around the house. I was sitting at home on New Year's Day, just sitting there in a recliner, and Melanie tripped and fell and landed on a Fisher-Price, supposed to be like an indestructible Fisher-Price camera for kids that she got that Christmas, and she landed right here on her shoulder, right where that stuff was out of her whole body at that time of her life. Okay, we figured out later that was the miracle, but there was another voice at that time that I've never heard God speak audibly, but many of you know that God does speak to us, and he may have spoke to some of you audibly. He may speak to me audibly someday. But I know from Scripture, and I know from having the Holy Ghost in my life, when God's speaking to me, and him or an angel spoke to me that day and said, when she fell right there on the floor, you need to pay attention to this. Because the kid had fell, I mean, the kids, they fall all the time, right? And I thought she just fell and got a bruise. But later I remember God told me, you need to pay attention to this. And then the fact that we took her to the doctor that day and she landed on that spot, hard enough that we took her to the doctor. That was the only spot in her body at the time that had the disease. If she landed over here, the x-ray never would have found it, okay? You know, that at that time, I mean, that was God. And we had to go through that process. You know, and we still, even though God showed it, I believe 110%, I still do believe this day, God can remove anything on the spot right now. It doesn't change the mission. You still pray that way. But sometimes God will have us go through a process. But we got to be careful, especially whenever you're going through a low time. And that was probably the lowest time of my life, going through that. And it was a few months of, you know, and then nowadays, now we look back, and if you ain't careful, you'll forget where God has brought you from. But that was a low time in life, and I don't want to go back there. You know, I'll tell you. But if I do, God will see me through it. But we got to be careful. You know, God is the God of the valley, right? You know, I haven't studied that scripture in a while, but if you go back in the Old Testament, there was a time where God's people was prevailing, and the pagan God, the people that the other army believed in a pagan God, and they said, well, their God, they're winning because their God is the God of the mountain. So then God went and changed it and fought them down the valley and whipped them. So just to show them that, hey, I'm the God of the mountain and I'm God of the valley. And speaking of those valleys, you know, you'll hear voices tell you you're always going to be in this valley. Nothing's ever going to work out for you, okay? The devil will try to tell you that. But if you know God's voice said that, if you just go to the Psalm 23, and David said that, yea, though I stay in the valley, no, he didn't say that. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all right? So that's where you got to put the word of God with those thoughts, amen. But there again, that's a perfect example about this sermon. I could have took that when the devil tried to tell me, your child is dead. I mean, said it about like that in my mind, it felt like. And I could have took that, and who knows where my child would be today. I believe it still took prayer to get her through that. Amen. So you got decisions to make, what you allow to those thoughts, those voices. We have to filter them through the Word of God. Now let's go talk about those sheep of John 10. They heard the shepherd's voice. Okay, that's one thing we noticed, that they heard the shepherd's voice. So that's so important that we hear the word of God, because the word of God is the voice of God. The word of God, the Bible, right? So we have to hear that. Okay, so they heard it. Because I don't know about you, I want to be like the sheep of John 10 that we just read about, okay? Because they were the ones that Jesus actually called them by name. Do you know God knows your name? That he knows, the Bible says, he even knows how many hairs are on your head. You know, when he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind as we get ready to celebrate Easter here in a couple weeks. Over 2,000 years ago, he looked ahead in time and thought about all of us, that we needed a Savior. And God cares for you on an individual level. Always remember that. So Jesus knows our names. The sheep followed the shepherd because they knew his voice. And then they said that they wouldn't follow strangers because they didn't know their voice. So we hear many voices. We have to know which ones are of God and which ones that aren't. Amen. Let's go to, let's see the temptation of Christ. I don't have Sister Kaylee, you just got to go. It's not on here. We got to go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's watch how the devil tries to work as well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. I'll just let you get it up on the screen there. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And just keep going. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was hungered. Means he was hungry. And when the tempter came, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So how did Jesus combat the devil? He used what? The word of God. You know, that's what we got to do. You're going to hear negative voices. You know, if you have a voice going through your head saying, "I'll never get out of this, there's no hope," that's a lie. With God, there is hope. Amen. Let's go ahead to the next verse. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Keep going. And saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." All right, now we watch. The devil knows the Bible, okay? And you can look this up in the Old Testament. God did say this. "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against stone." I mean, I think he may have quoted it verbatim. The devil knows the Bible. Amen. And he used the Bible to try to tempt Jesus. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, "It is written again." Sometimes you got to go and see more than one scripture. Amen. It's written again. It's also written here. You know, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Okay, let's see what happens next. "And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So there again, Jesus didn't mess around with the devil and get in too much of a philosophical debate with him. He just used the word of God. "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So they saw this conversation wasn't going anywhere. And that's why we need to be, we can't be, you know, the Bible likens people that are like that to being waverly. We can't waver in our thing. We got to know what the word of God says and heed to it, okay? And I will say that hearing, listening, and obeying God's voice are three separate things. All of us in this room are hearing some of God's words as we read from the Bible. But I don't know how many times I've been around and I've just heard noise. But, you know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Now, if I'm listening, I've got my ear attentive. I'm soaking in what's said. I'm not letting things be a distraction to me. So hearing and listening are two separate things. And then obeying it. You know, we can amen the preacher today. And we can say, yeah, we get it. But when it comes down to applications, we have to obey it, don't we? In Matthew, now here's a good example. I think most of us are parents in here, maybe got and some grandparents. I don't know how many times I've been guilty of it too with my children. It's amazing that when you have children, how much you start understanding how God works and how God's love works and His mercy and His grace. Hopefully, you understand that. that you start realizing that at a young age, Brother Gundeman, when you tell your children, you know, you cannot cross a busy street without somebody's help, you know, and they don't understand and they don't comprehend that. And they think, oh, I can handle, and you're like, no, you're going to die just one time, you know, and then you're reminded of how my relationship is with God and how many times he's told me, you know, you idiot, you think you're so smart, you're not. This will kill you. And we've all been there. So, but one of the things that we've all have said, when we command our kids to do something, Brother Gundeman, we ask them, you know, don't fight with your sister. And then 5 minutes later, they're fighting with their sister. And then we are mad and we go to them and we say, you guys are not listening to me. Okay? Now, I thought about this and I thought that may not be entirely true. I think we need to change how we word that, because really we ought to say, you're not obeying me. Right? Because most of the time we stop and we make sure they listen. Okay? We don't just say it when they get their backs turned. We say, hey, Daphne, now I want you to listen to me right now. Do not fight with your sister, Melanie, and you look them in the eye. Okay? At that point, I'm pretty sure they've listened. Okay? It's not the fact that they didn't listen. It's just they chose not to obey. Amen? So hearing, listening, and obeying are three separate things. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus, at the end of wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount, he just went out and taught. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. No interruptions, just taught the people many things. Judge not, that you be not judged. Gave them all kinds of things. And he said at the end of this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So there we see the same scenario happened to those two different individuals in this parable. There was one wise and one foolish. You know, we saw where the rain descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house. That house meaning the house of their life, how their life is built, their foundations. And all those four things came upon the same house, but at the end of it, one turned out different from the other. One, because it was built on an unstable foundation, the sand. You know, another account said that it was washed away, okay? It fell. The other one was built upon a rock, signifying building it upon God's word, his voice, and it stood. Amen. All of us are going to face things just like the story. Bad times are going to come. But I don't know about you. I would rather have my foundation built on the word of God and go through the storms of life than not. All of us. You can take the richest people in this world, they don't have it all together all the time. Most of the time, they're just like the people on the sand. They may have the nicest looking building, but if your house is built upon something that won't support it and won't survive the storms, it doesn't matter how pretty it is, okay? But how many of them commit suicide, okay? Fame and fortune isn't everything. You have to have your foundation built on God. And the only way we know how to do that is we hear his voice. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. This is summing up the account when Saul, who was king before David of Israel, he had been given commandments from God. God gave commandments to Samuel the prophet. Samuel the prophet gave them to Saul, gave him strict commandments. Said, go out, fight the Amalekites, and don't let any of them live. Well, he goes through. You guys know the story. He goes through and he does most of that, but then somebody keeps back the best part of the goods. When God said, wipe all the goods out, and he kept the king alive when God told him to destroy the king, okay? You know, he heard, but did he fully obey? He didn't. He even come to Samuel and said, hey, you know, let's celebrate. I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And Samuel says, no, you haven't. What's this bleeding of sheep I hear in my ears? There's not supposed to be bleeding of sheep going on. The sheep should have been destroyed. That was on the list. And Samuel, and then Saul goes and defends himself. Said, well, I did this, did that. And then he blames it on the people. And then Samuel sums it up in tells Saul this in 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Because he kept the animals and was going to sacrifice it unto God, even though God said, "I don't want you to do that." "As in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Meaning, Saul was thinking that, well, if I just offer this many sacrifices, I'll be okay. If I can just, pay enough money to the church, that'll wash my sins away. It doesn't work that way, okay? You know, the richest person and the poorest person on earth have to obey the Word of God. It's the only way. Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And He said in our account that He is the door, okay? Anybody else that comes in any other way is a thief and a robber. Think about the story of Little Red Riding Hood. There's several different accounts, but the account, they kind of tweak the story here and there. But Little Red had instructions from her mom. And her mom looked at her and said, "Little Red, your grandmother's ill. I want you to go visit her deep in the woods. And Little Red, I want you to take this basket of goodies to him. It may have been cookies or whatever. Take this to your grandmother." So she had specific instructions. And one other thing I want you to abide is you stay on the path. Do not get off the bunny trail, I believe it was, okay? So she heard her mother's instructions. I think she listened, okay? But listening is different from obeying, okay? We have to listen and obey. Faith without works is dead. So Little Red goes out on the path, and she's walking along with her little red cape or hood on her head, and she is going through the forest and gets distracted by some flowers along the way. And she goes off the path and starts getting these flowers, and then guess who sees her do this? The wolf. The wolf sees her do this, and the wolf learns of her plans. We got to be careful who we say our plans around. Amen. She expressed her plans around the wolf, and the wolf put two and two together and thought, "I could have me a two-course dinner here. I could get Grandma, and I could get this Little Red Riding Hood." So the wolf, even though that the little girl is scared of the wolf at first, he begins to manipulate her and tell her and begins to come across not so mean, that she's not afraid of him. And so she tells him, "Hey, I'm going to go visit my grandma who's sick in the woods, and I'm going to give her these treats." So the wolf hears that and decides he don't want to eat Little Red Riding Hood right there, departs, and he takes a shortcut, and he goes to Grandma's house and gets her, and then he goes and disguises himself in the bed and tries to dress up like Grandma and tries to put on her robe, dims the lights, and here it comes Little Red Riding Hood into the house, and she goes and approaches who she thinks is her grandmother, and she notices something's different. Notices the physical features, but one thing that she noticed was her voice. That didn't sound like Grandma's voice. And, because your voice will give you away. And then she goes on, and then there's several different versions. The woodsman comes and saves her, and they get Grandma out of the wolf's belly and all that. So everything ends up good. But the moral of the story is we have to listen and obey. And then also be careful. Things are not always as they appear. The Bible says that there will come wolves in sheep's clothing. And we can read, the devil has been around longer than you and I. Okay, I don't want to give him a lot of credit, but, a lot of people have a misconception about the devil. They think, and Hollywood's painted this way, they think the devil is down there in charge of hell, below the earth somewhere, and they think he's down there with a pitchfork, guarding the fire, just getting people to come down there with him as he can, and he's in control of hell, and he'll prod you in the fire. That is absolutely not true. In some ways, and he can take you with him if you follow his ways, but he is not down there in hell right now, Kennelly. He's here among us and on the earth, going to and fro, okay? It's not his time to go. There's going to be a time where he's going to be down there, okay? But he's not in control of hell. He can't send you to hell, okay? You have that option. The only way that you can win, the only way the devil can defeat you is by default. You give up. You throw in the towel. God has done everything for us. You think about what he did for us on Calvary as we celebrate in a couple weeks. He did the hard work for us. All we have to do is obey. We go on and read. The Bible says, repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He'll give you the Holy Ghost. Bible says that'll be a comfort to us, at least all truth. And it's also how you know God's Spirit's in you. You know, when you speak in another language, that's how you know for sure, hey, I do have God's Spirit living in me all the way enough. That's signs for you. But you can know that because we know what the voice of the Lord says. So if the music will come, we'll go ahead and let's all stand. So we have to, as our title mentioned tonight, we must know God's voice. That's the only way that we're going to make it. We're going to hear multiple voices, and it's going to get harder as the days approaching of the Lord's coming. It's going to get harder. But we got to be patient. We got to know God's voice. Now, many of you raised your hand, and we have needs in this house. And God is a fulfiller of needs. I don't know how He's met my needs so many times in my life, and many times I'm sure there's things God's done for me that I'm even unaware of, and I thank God for that. But I know several times where I shouldn't even be standing here; I should be dead, and let alone the times God has done things for me where moved me just right in a situation, maybe avoided a car accident or something that we maybe see glimpses of. But God's so good. And some of you may be struggling with, inadequacies, struggling with the fact that maybe you think God can't forgive you for what you've done. Psalms 86:5, I love this scripture. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Do you know God? We're not waiting on God to forgive us. God is ready. He is ready to forgive us. Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God said in Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a yoke to serving God. Bible says you must deny yourself. Any man that comes to Jesus must deny themselves and take up his cross. But think of the alternative. What Bible says, if we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what profit shall it be? That's the voice of God. We got to have those voices in our lives. Because you may be having voices right now that you may be thinking about, well, we're about done here. This is just another Sunday morning. I'm going to come and go. But what does the voice of God say to your heart here today? When God spoke to Samuel when he was a little boy, he come to him, his voice sounded a lot like Eli. It wasn't a loud, thunderous voice. God does do that sometimes. But it wasn't loud. It was just a little time. He called out Samuel, called him by name, knew Samuel's name, because God wanted to call him into being a prophet. Samuel thought it was Eli, woke him up 2 or 3 times, and then finally Eli figured out, hey, that wasn't me, it was God. So maybe God's doing that to you tonight. Maybe that call, maybe you're having these thoughts come to your head. Maybe I should come up and pray today. Maybe today is the day. Think about those thoughts. Is that of God, or is that of me, or of the devil? I don't think it's from the devil. The devil don't want you praying. Amen. Another time, the prophet Elijah was running for his life, even though he just had a great victory on Mount Carmel. He told the people, if God be God, then serve him. If Baal, then him. As they were living, people were serving a false god at the time. God answers by fire from heaven. But then there's one voice that entered his life. Jezebel, the evil queen at the time, said, I'm going to kill you, just like you did all my prophets. And he ran for his life. And we can sit and judge him and think, how? He just saw God answer by fire from heaven. You don't think God can just take care of her. But we do the same things if we're not careful. We got to remember what God's done for us. If he did it for us once, he can do it again. But God shows up to Elijah. And he says, hey, come to the cave. Come to the edge of the cave. And there was the mountains shook. A great wind blew. There was an earthquake, and there was a fire even. But God was not in the fire. He was not in the earthquake. But a still, small voice came and spoke to Elijah. Now, I don't know about you. The times where God spoke to me the most is even getting this message prepared tonight. God gets me up at 2 or 3 in the morning when I'm not distracted and speaks to me. In order for God to speak to us, sometimes we have to be quiet. And actually, matter of fact, that's always true. In order for somebody to actually speak to us, sometimes we got to keep our mouth shut and listen to the voice of God. And the voice of God wants to speak to us here tonight, to this morning, excuse me. So make sure that we listen to those voices that we listen. We run through the filter of God. And if it's of God, let's obey it. I'm going to turn the service to Brother Gunderman. God bless you. Love you all. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Southern. We must know the voice of our God. Amen. It's just a little after 11. I want to give you a chance to pray before we leave, because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next few minutes. The scripture says our life is like a vapor. It's here now, and it's gone. And when we hear God, oftentimes we, like he said, we confuse the voices. The enemy would come in and try to confuse that voice. But I believe God has spoken here today. And he would say, he would ask us, are you listening? Are you obeying my voice? Because you can hear the voice of God. But are we obeying the voice of God? And I don't want to end the service without giving us a chance to... You see, repentance is so quick and so easy to do that we take it for granted. It's so necessary in our life. It's a necessity and a vital part of our life and our living for God and obeying the voice of God. You see, God can speak to me just like he speaks to his children. And just like he said, his children don't always obey. And just like us, we don't always obey. But when I disobey God, I have to repent. Because that disobedience is the only thing that's separating me from God. It's my disobedience. And that can be so easily rectified just by simply, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And it's that quick that it's remedied. So if you would you please find a place to pray this morning? You don't have to pray long. But just make sure, I want to make sure, God, I want to do your work. I want to be obedient to your voice. Let's find a place to pray this morning.
Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood.